Hello, gold members. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we're going to talk about resuscitation. Now, I am not so much as going to go and review resuscitation because if you look back in your lessons, you've got the videos there. You can certainly watch those. For me to just review them in audio is kind of a waste of time for you. But I want to make sure that you guys really, really understand the importance of it. Right? And the importance of following certain rules when you're doing it. One, if you are trying to knock someone out or you're doing something in which you think it might happen, have spotters there to catch the person. There is a very, very well-known martial artist in the pressure point circuit. I have a great deal of respect for the man. I'm not going to mention his name, right? Because people tend to then take things the wrong way when you talk about it. But there was a whole lot of video out of some of his knockouts, and they were really good knockouts because he was a very, very talented man. Brilliant martial artist. There were no catchers. And, you know, when you're doing something like that, it is far more dramatic if nobody catches the guy. Right? Now, if somebody is truly unconscious when they go down, or semi-conscious, you can kiss the brave falls they've ever learned goodbye. It's not going to happen. But the risk can be his head injury if the head bounces. Right? Remember, long time ago, I went with my instructor. This was in 1988, I believe it was. We went to the Canadian Nationals in Toronto, the Taekwondo Nationals. And during one of the fights, this kid got kicked in the head. Not cold through the helmet. A roundhouse kick came up and it caught him and he was out cold. He hit the ground hard. His head bounced three times. He stopped. He had some sort of airway issue as well during this. And the doctor that was on call and the ambulance attendants actually had to do a tracheotomy on the floor on this guy. Right? But he was 3 months in a hospital from the head injuries. Right, through the helmet, head and neck injuries. He was a mess. Now, he did fight again, oddly enough. Like, the joys of youth, eh, that you can recover from something like that. But very dangerous situation when it came to that. I have had people that I have knocked out by accident who've hit the floor very hard, and I'm always terrified when I see them go down. Not because I'm concerned that I can't bring them back, but because I'm concerned of injury during the fall. So always be careful. Next, no matter how big a cement head your catcher is, make sure there's two of them. I made a critical error once when I was in London at a advanced session with Grandmaster Steve. He came over to me and he says, I'm going to go do this, this, and this to Jacob. I think he might go out, so catch him if he goes out. Right? He says, you know, get somebody else to help you. And I went, yeah, that's all right, I can catch this kid. No big deal. Right. Well, I was crouched down behind him, and GM Steve did his thing, and this kid went completely out. Right. This wasn't a standing knockout where the guy's a little bit dizzy and falls down. This kid was unconscious. He was about 18. Right. And this guy was 5'10", he's taller now. He's about close to 6 feet. And he was a good 250 pounds, solid muscle guy. I came up behind him and caught him. And as I came up behind him and he fell, his right elbow hit the center of my right bicep. Right? Well, my bicep cramped from the impact, right? But I was holding his arms. So when the bicep cramped, the only thing that could happen is for the muscle and the tendon to tear themselves apart. Right? I finished the resuscitation, I brought the kid back, and then I went and walked to the back of the room and I pulled up my gi sleeve so I could take a look, and I had a trough where I used to have a bicep. Right? I went over to Steve and I went, I think I got a problem, sir. And he looked at it and he kind of went a little bit pale. And he said, well, rub it for a while and see what happens. Right? And he knew darn well what had happened. But he just, it's not an injury you expect to have. And all I was doing was catching the guy, right? So you've got to get the safety elements in place always, 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 right? Now, this was on a Saturday over the Easter weekend in 2010. And on Wednesday morning, after multiple tests, I went to emergency back in Windsor on Sunday. Went for sushi after class. Like, it hurts. What am I going to do? Right? I'd rather have sushi than anything else. So, and then the next day I went to emergency. Then they brought me in Tuesday for an ultrasound. And then I saw a surgeon Wednesday morning. And Wednesday about 9 o'clock, they put everything back together. About 9 p.m., right? Long ordeal and, blah, blah, blah. Lots of people tear biceps or tear out tendons. I actually pulled the tendon right out of the bicep. Shredded part of the muscle tissue, so the muscle's a little bit shorter. Right. But it all could have been avoided if I hadn't been so pig-headed about the fact that I could just catch this guy by myself, right? I was not thinking. Right. Today, I wouldn't even attempt that. I would have two other people do it, right? The privileges of rank, right? Yeah, you guys catch him. I should have done that to begin with, but Steve knew that if this kid's name was Kyle, I think, if he went out, that I could also bring him back really quickly, right? And he wouldn't have to interfere with it because I was the senior student of his at that point in time. I was the protege. Next is the actual resuscitating them, right? If you don't resuscitate them, what happens on these neurological knockouts is the body tends to flush water around an awful lot. I don't know why, but if you don't resuscitate them and restore the energy balance, they will come out of this, depending on the intensity of the knockout, of course, feeling like they've been out drinking all night. Okay. They will feel hungover and lousy. Getting knocked out is euphoric if you bring them back. They wake up, it's the best they felt all day. The endorphins are flowing, they feel great, and they want to do it again. You don't bring them back well, you've lost a nuki, right? So it's extremely important that you do it. Now, obviously, when you start to get into lung issues, which are fairly common, especially in North America, I don't know about Western Europe, but here I don't foresee problems here in Eastern Europe because the air is cleaner here in Romania and Brasov than it is any place I've ever been. But a lot of people with lung issues, lung problems do happen. I've had to fix a whole bunch of them over time. Never encountered a heart problem. I certainly hope I never do. Okay. Because I'm always really careful who I knock out. I tend to knock out people between the ages of 17 and 21. Because okay, they've got the best recuperative powers of it. Right? They pop back the quickest. And there's a lot less issues. I have knocked out people as old as 45, but I'm very, very careful when I do that. And I will not no-touch somebody of that age. No way. No way. No-touch is when you start to understand no-touch and you start to get into it, you realize, even though there is no practical application for it, it's damn dangerous if it goes bad. I've seen two no-touches. I thought one of these no-touches, the guy was going to die. Right? And Dillman was pretty panicked at this point because he wasn't coming back. This guy wasn't coming back. He was an older gentleman. Wasn't coming back. Right? It was all sorts of a bad situation. Now, there was a lot involved in the knockout. You weren't not going to do it by accident. Right? But George tried something that he later said he probably shouldn't have. He never said what it was because he didn't want it replicated. Right? But I think I know what he did. But anyways, that's some of the importance of making sure that it gets done. If you knock somebody on the street, no, you're not going to wake them up. Screw them. Leave them there. Right? They had it coming. Right? Very rare under most conditions with a knockout that involves a strike that you're going to be encountering serious problems afterwards unless there's a health issue to begin with. Right? And even then, it's not going to, you didn't do much. You hit the guy's tummy five. Right. Now, when we're talking about the intensity of knockouts, I also saw a knockout back in my early days in Kyusho, which was based on the cycle of destruction for emotions, which we will get into and it was a stomach five hit. And the kid, Sean, was about, I think he was about 19 or 20 at that point in time. He was unconscious for almost 20 minutes from this. And the first thing he did when he woke up was he vomited. And then they took him to the bathroom and he vomited for basically the rest of the night, dry heaves and all of that, right? He was restored properly because there was an acupuncturist on site, which who took care of the issues with him. But there's a lot of really, really nasty ways to do knockouts. So, and you may someday play with him. I said I never would. Right? Everybody in the novice sections always go, oh, I'm not going to do that. It's too dangerous. Yeah, you're around long enough. You're going to do some stuff and go, oh, wow, cool. Look at that. I did a no-touch on my son once, and I won't do that again. It was in 2007. And the video's bad because I edited it, so certain things weren't seen, especially how bad the knockout went. he stopped breathing on me. I brought him back. Bringing him back wasn't the issue. Brought him back quick. He was off work for the following week because his lungs hurt so bad. They were burning. He had all sorts of things going on with him. And one of the reasons that I edited it was because I knew that my instructor was going to see it, and I didn't want to be in shit for the fact that I did that much damage to my own kid. But later on, years later, I found out that it's much easier to knock out a blood relative than it is to knock out a stranger. Not because they're enslaved and believe you, like all the naysayers would like to say, but being that you're related, your frequencies are closer together. Right? And when the frequencies, the operations of the body frequencies are closer together, it's far much easier to harmonize with them and then drop it. Right? Which is essentially what you're doing with a no-touch, is you're harmonizing with their energy so that you match their frequency and then you drop it and they go out. Right? And so does anybody standing behind them who happens to harmonize as well. This podcast could be a little bit longer, I guess. There was one night I was, it's about, oh, maybe a year and a half ago when I was still in Windsor, and I was doing a Q Show class at night because I was promoting the next novice Q Show that was coming up that I wasn't going to be teaching, but Master Ricardo in Windsor was going to be teaching it. And I had one of the adult students there, and he's not an older gentleman. He's younger than me, but he's older, right? And he volunteered for this thing, and I was showing how to do a chi push without having a whole bunch of people on a chain to do it. And in the new new book, well, maybe by the time you hear this, it may already be the book. In the No-Touch Knockout Theories book, I get into chi pulls and pushes and things. And I did the what I was showing, and he was simply supposed to lose his balance. And when I gave the push, he blacked right out, and he fell like a tree, straight backwards on the mats, and bounced about 3-4 times when he hit. I was terrified because of the way he hit the ground, and he just laid there with his arms outspread and his eyes rolled in the back of his head, and he was gone. Right, and he's not a big man, but he's not a little man, and we had trouble sitting him up so I could bring him back because that's how unconscious he was. Right, we got to support him. You got to get the back straight, and I got him back, and he came out and he went, "Did you do it yet?" Right? Yeah, he says, "I feel funny." Right? Yeah, you do. So we sat him down. We filled him up with water. That's the other thing, too, is when you do a knockout, make sure you got water around for the people to drink afterwards. Really does help with it. But anyways, that's my story for now, and I'm sticking to it. We'll catch you guys in the next podcast. Have a great day. Ciao.